Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm really good. You know, I'm excited about the show today for a couple of reasons. We've had a lot of people send us emails at the Atlanta Business Radio Show that have talked about social networking. So I've got some great guests lined up today to talk about social networking.
Cool. Who do we have?
We have Sean Nelson, and we also have Tio Grosso.
Oh, wait. We forgot our sponsor thing.
Go ahead. Talk about the TAB.
TAB, the Alternative Board in Northwest Atlanta. It's run by our friend
Elizabeth Gordon.
That's right. And the link to that will be on our website.
Exactly.
Because I'm TAB. Not prepared.
And the show today is sponsored by TAB. You know, I got an email from Brian Cork, who I consider to be the king of connector, and I asked him about LinkedIn, and he said that in 2007, he generated over $60 million in new revenue for clients and strategic partners by simply using LinkedIn with introductions. I can't talk today. And that's amazing. $60 million. And I asked him how he did it. He said it really comes down to a worldview and keeping others accountable for what they've said they'll do.
Oh.
I thought, $60 million in 1 year, that's amazing. But again, the power of the internet, the power of social media is so important. And a lot of people have questions about it. They say that 90% of people that use LinkedIn don't even know what the heck they're doing. So today I'm proud to say we have Sean Nelson, who has written a great book called LinkedIn 101, From Clueless to Connected in 6 Days. And then we also have Master of Social Media and Business Building with Social Networking Systems, Tio Gracia. So welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, guys.
Good morning.
Tio, let's start with you, Tio, because your story is a little bit different. And people call you the master of business-to-business social networking. So where did you start, and can you walk us through the process of how you got there?
I started using the internet back in 1995. And we've had some major shifts in paradigms over the last, really, 3 to 4 years with social networking, and now with the social media, the concept of social media, which is kind of like tying all your social networking efforts into one campaign. And as far as background, I've built these types of systems for Fortune 100 companies and different small to mid-sized business, mostly Fortune 100 companies, though. And now I'm coming into small business over the last couple of years. I'm teaching how to pull these systems together. And, you know, one of the things we teach is creating a theme for social media. For example, if you're a tree cutter and you want to, create some kind of media or theme campaign for your product, you're not really going to talk about the problems that you solve. You're going to talk about something that's interesting to people. They may or may not be interested necessarily into what the problems you solve. Your tree may fall in your house, et cetera. But what they're interested in is exactly what's involved with the work involved, the danger involved. And you have to do some research prior to creating a social media campaign. You have to find out what is working for other people, what people are interested in. And it's kind of surprising sometimes to watch how you come up with something for a social media marketing campaign. It usually ends up in a place completely different than where you started looking.
I imagine.
Solution.
Yeah. I bet you've seen a lot of change since 1995.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is it from the customer standpoint? Don't you think a lot of times they think it's one thing, but you have to kind of direct them to build their community in a different way?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. A lot of people, when they hear the term community, they think of, I'll post a few community activities on a website. It's kind of a one-way conversation. Really, community means, people getting together, working together, finding things in common that they can celebrate and become a part of and actually be engaged with that type of conversation.
You know what? Maybe we should define social media. On your website, Tio, you do a really good job of describing social media and comparing it to ice cream. Do you mind walking anybody through that analogy? How is social media like ice cream?
That's a, I didn't actually produce that video. I found that on YouTube. I love it.
I love
those guys. We probably hire them to do something on NetTeams at some point. But they really kind of demonstrate what social media is. You're trying to get feedback from customers. This is, you know, we're talking B2C as opposed to business to business, business mm-hmm. to customer. So they're talking about how to get the customers involved with your product and what you actually do and what's so unique and interesting about it. I love the pickle ice cream example.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah.
And now let's talk a little bit about Sean. Sean, you've gotten into the social media recently, correct?
Since probably January is when I really dove into it.
And you really dove into it, because when we spoke in January, you were just getting your feet wet with LinkedIn, and now you've actually written a book, LinkedIn 101. So tell us about that.
I think I got into LinkedIn like a lot of other folks, just stumbled across it. And actually, I first started looking into it probably in 2006, and to be honest, I really didn't find much use for it back then. It primarily was made up of people that were in the technology sector, so I didn't see much business application as far as my business. And then this past December, I had a CPA contact me. She'd found my profile on LinkedIn, and after reading it, she felt that I could help a couple of her clients, and so that wound up leading to several pieces of business. And the light bulb sort of went off in my head that, hey, maybe there is something here. And if there is, then I should know as much about it as possible.
And then what'd you do at that point?
Well, I started just trying to review everything on the site, looking at it, started actually getting active, connecting with people and talking about it through the various networking events that I attend. And then as I started talking to people, I realized that nobody really knew anything about LinkedIn, really didn't know how it was used, how they could use it for their business, and I really didn't know how to use it. And so I decided, let's start looking at it, do a little research, and that somewhat led to the thought process of writing a guide to help people that I network with just to use LinkedIn. And once I got up to 20 pages, I said, well, maybe there's a book here.
And the book is great, too. Can you let the listeners know how they can go about acquiring a copy of that?
Right now, I'm working with a publisher out on the West Coast to release it, but in Georgia, I've pretty much been giving it free to all my connections. So right now, I guess the best way to get it is to network, come across me, and I'll give you a free copy, I guess is the easiest way.
But they have to earn it by connecting with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And I'm not really using it. I'm not using it to try to drive connections, because right now I've got about 260, and I'm not really looking to be this mass person that has thousands of connections. It just happens to be that if you're connected with me, it's a way I can provide value. So I guess the easiest way would be to go to linked101.com, and from there you can either connect to me, but I will say that I try to connect to people I know. I just don't connect to anybody. But there's always a cup of coffee waiting, and we can get to know each other, and then you've got a free copy of the book.
Excellent. You know, you said in your book that there are over 24 million registered users. That's mind-boggling. That's a lot of users, and growing by 485% annually. Obviously, we're on to something here, and if you're not registered as LinkedIn, it could be detrimental. So how do you go about it? Where do you start, y'all?
The easiest way is to go to the LinkedIn site, which is www.linkedin.com. It has a fairly simple registration process. I would recommend that you don't pay for any of their versions that cost money. Just simply use the free version. And then you really want to try to find a couple people to connect to quickly that are what we call lions, and those are open networkers. And the purpose of connecting to a lion is they have so many connections that it automatically expands your network, because when you do a search for people, only people within your network are going to come up. So you need to start connecting to a couple people and expanding that network, and the lions will really help you do that quick.
How long did it take you to expand your network to where it is today?
Most of my networking probably took about 3 months to get the core, and when I say 3 months to get over, I guess the 100 number is a good milestone to start with. It really depends on how many people you know, and then do you get out and network. Now, for myself, the way I really grew it was using the different chamber events and just meeting people and then inviting them to connect. And then from there, I continued to meet other people.
It is a really good way of getting to know someone. Once you've connected with them, you can see where they've gone to school, what their interests might be. Now, Tio, I'm curious to know, you talk about the hidden connections. Can you elaborate a little bit on what are hidden connections?
What is that? I don't know. What is a hidden connection? Well, you know,
maybe not the obvious ones.
Well, the God, that can mean a couple things. You know, like on LinkedIn, you've got three levels of connections. You got people connected directly to you, mm-hmm. through your connections, and through your connections. If that doesn't confuse you, I'm sure we can find a way. You know, there's a lot of people that still just don't like to use computers. So there's connections to people that you may have that use computers, and then you have connections to people that don't use them. And these are hidden. They still do business. But, you know, I know people making millions of dollars a year, and they still don't have websites, you know, contractors, different lines of business.
So it's definitely changing the way we look at business as far as being able to connect. You can certainly do research on a potential client. I know a lot of people will use LinkedIn that way, or locating former clients or colleagues. Are either of you too familiar with, like, how do you search for a job on LinkedIn or with social networking?
So the jobs function's probably one of the strongest functions on LinkedIn. I remember when I moved to Atlanta back in 2001, I really didn't know that many people here because I graduated college and went off to Chicago, so I didn't have a network, and the only way I could find jobs was either looking in the newspaper, trying to get out and network, or looking at sites like Monster.com. Now, with LinkedIn, where they really take it to another level is they have a jobs function on the page, and when you look at the jobs that are posted, you not only see information on the jobs, but it also posts how you're connected to the person that's hiring.
That's interesting. Now, Tio, you use more than LinkedIn in your social media. Can you talk a little bit about the NetTeams?
Well, we built that system from scratch. We when we came into this last year, we had to decide, do we want to just buy a MySpace clone and then, you know, build out from there or develop it from scratch? So we actually build these systems for people. So we have a, you know, separate community for everybody can have their own LinkedIn.
So now these groups, how are they formed?
We turn on a switch through the software, and it's up and running. And then we can brand components.
Yeah, why don't you give us an example of, like, an actual client, maybe, or if you don't want to use their name, but just, like, how they're utilizing it and how they're benefiting from it.
Well, for example, a lot of people have websites, but they don't have any way to capture the visitors into their central database. Most people use Excel and Outlook, maybe something like iContact to send out newsletters. We can, you know, attach this functionality onto their existing website, and they can log into NetTeams and actually send out newsletters or, you know, start networking, create.
And they can communicate back and forth amongst the members?
Yeah, I mean, it's the real meaning of community as opposed to a one-way conversation. You can create a two-way community conversation within your website.
And then just outsiders can ask to join the group?
Well, it depends on how you set the community up. We have a bunch of switches. Is it a private? That means you have to invite, like a BNI group, where you have to invite somebody to join? Or is it a public you know, generally like a chamber, they want people to just come by a couple times and try it out and see if it works for them.
So that's interesting how people can connect that way. It sounds a little bit different than a blog, though.
Well, we have what we call an article blogging system, and we tie that into a central database where any community or anybody with a member homepage can use that article for their homepage. And you can still add contents and do the RSS feed. RSS is, I don't know if anybody is a geek and knows what that is.
We can kind of tell that maybe you know what that is.
Yeah.
You have a little background in that.
It's a way to subscribe to a an article or a blog.
So that way the person gets the most recent article?
Yeah, for example, Microsoft Internet Explorer 7 comes with an RSS feed, and Yahoo email comes with an RSS feeder. So you can subscribe, and then when something changes, you'll see it, and you can you're basically pulling stuff to you as opposed to the old-style broadcasts that push out.
So, Sean, tell us, do you blog regularly on LinkedIn?
I do. I've actually got a blog at the LinkedIn 101 site where I really just talk about my experiences with LinkedIn, and it's kind of evolving over time.
How has this impacted your business? Because why don't you share what your primary business is?
My primary business is employee benefits and individual health and life insurance. And where it's impacted me so far has just been getting new clients that have found me through LinkedIn. I'm looking to take it to the next step, is actually using LinkedIn to reach out and introduce myself to folks to try to find new clients. And that's actually where I think the value down the road in LinkedIn is they start adding new features that allow you to better search the network and better identify potential prospects or people that really would be good for you to know.
So when you talk about searching, can you explain the term keywords?
Keyword would be, you know, if you were searching for me, you might put in Health Insurance Atlanta, and that would bring up all the different folks that offer health insurance or have health, the word health and insurance in their profile coinciding with Atlanta. It would pull up all of those folks. So when you do a keyword search, you're really just trying to identify people that fit a certain profile.
Now, has the LinkedIn, all the work you're doing with blogging about LinkedIn, helped increase your profile on LinkedIn in regards to the, you know, the insurance?
Yeah, I think it has. Sometimes it's hard to track the metrics to see what you're doing, what effect it's really having. But I will say this, that I do a lot of offline networking throughout the chamber, and it's gotten to a point now where when I get a new client, sometimes I can't really tell you whether I got that client because I was at the chamber event or because I'm connected to somebody on LinkedIn. It's starting to somewhat merge between the two, that I think I'm getting some new clients because it's a combination of both.
Have you ever done any like consulting to help someone improve their LinkedIn profile?
I've talked to people I know and friends, and I've just kind of made suggestions. Now, on my site, I've got a link actually to a little tool that I created called a LinkedIn Profile Score, where you can actually answer some questions about what you're doing with LinkedIn and how you're using it, and it'll actually give you a score, and you'll be able to compare that score to the average score of all the users that have done a profile. And it gives you some hints once you get your score. It's a numeric-based score, and it has a category that you'll pull up. You know, are you a networker? Are you somebody that has a naked profile, meaning you haven't done much with LinkedIn? And it gives you hints and tips on how you can improve your score.
That's neat. And how does somebody go about finding that?
If you go to the linked101.com website, you'll see at the bottom there's a link to the profile score, and you just click on it. You don't have to put in an email address or name. I'm not using it to capture information about people. It's simply just a tool for somebody to use to get a gauge based on my criteria of how well they're doing.
What would be one thing a person should do? You know, what's that big thing that jumpstarts somebody on LinkedIn?
The most important thing is that you detail your profile, which will help people really see who you are. Use it, not, you know, you don't want to reiterate your resume. You want to give people a clear reason of how you can help them and how they can help you. And then once you've got that profile up, and definitely make sure you spell check everything, then you want to start connecting. And at some point, it'll get beyond where you're connecting to people and you're getting excited about the number of connections to where you're actually getting excited about who you're connecting to.
I think someone's ringing here. Now, my question for both T.O. and Sean is, do you think that social media should replace face-to-face networking? What do you think, T.O.?
Well, what we teach is, and what we try to do is bridge the gap between face-to-face and online networking. And the way we do that is we say, you know, meet somebody face-to-face first, and this is kind of what Sean was saying earlier. And then, you know, you can use the technologies online to enhance that. You know, once you get a face and you can kind of get a feel for who the person is, it's nice to look at somebody's face when you're calling them.
Right.
And that's kind of the way I use NetTeams. You know, look at somebody's face, give them a call. Or if I forget their name, I look for the face.
Yeah, that helps.
That's why photos are part of the, what net teams offer, right?
Yeah.
Just for that reason.
Yeah.
Now, Tio, I know you do some workshops on social media optimization. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, we have a kind of a 10-step program towards creating a social media marketing campaign. And we focus most of it around picking a theme. That's the hardest part. An excellent example of this is to take a look at the Geico commercials. I mean, they have the caveman theme, right? Mm-hmm. They have the old commercials like Beverly Hillbillies and Flintstones theme. They have the get a professional actor to explain your problem theme. They've got about six different themes they use. And what they do is they test and fine-tune these things to move forward with their process. And they also use humor. Humor is really powerful. Sean uses that in his book. I love the cartoons.
I love the cartoons, Sean. Those are great. So tell us about your social media optimization workshops. How can people find out about them? Are they online? How does it work?
We've got it connected to one of our article blogs. Steven Adler and I wrote an article on social media optimization, so you can get more information from there. Just go to netteams.net and do a search on social media optimization.
Sean, any hot tips for our listeners? They're not LinkedIn. How do they begin? With the profile?
Well, the first thing you've got to do is just jump into the water. So you've got to get on LinkedIn. You've got to set up a profile. And then you've got to start looking for people to connect to. And what you have to keep in mind is LinkedIn's not going to take you from non-networking to being completely networked within your community. It's only a tool. And I try to tell people it's like a car. You have to first get in, you have to start it, you have to press the gas, and then you have to steer it. So you've got to have a strategy of how you're going to use LinkedIn to better your business, and you really need to combine it with offline networking. You know, it's great to connect to 20 people. I could connect to probably 100 in a week, but do I really know those people? So you've got to meet people face-to-face.
So when it goes comes time for someone to send an invitation on LinkedIn, I'm kind of picky about who I accept, and I've actually not accepted some invitations because I didn't know who it was.
And that's a good, that's your strategy, is to only connect to people you either know or that you'd want to get to know, and that's sort of the same strategy I have. Some folks tend to feel it's better to just connect to anybody, and so everybody's got their own strategy. The one thing I will say, when you send out an invitation, just take some time to personalize that invitation. You know, if you met somebody at the chamber this morning, just say, hey, we crossed paths at the chamber this morning, and I'd like to add you to my network.
So don't use the default little thing that they have with LinkedIn?
The only time I would ever use that, if it was somebody that I knew really well and that they would recognize me based on my name. The downside to LinkedIn is they try to encourage you to send out mass invitations and connection requests, but at the same time, if you have five people say they don't know you, then you get labeled as a spammer and you're possibly going to lose your account privileges at LinkedIn.
Oh, that's a nice
you really
little thing to know.
You really want to personalize those emails, invitations, and send them out one at a time.
You don't want to get on that list. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the rule of 250.
The rule of 250, which was something I came across in my research, was that everybody knows about 250 people. Those people know 250 people, and it just keeps extending on. It's somewhat along the lines of the 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon,
right?
In that if you know 250 people, then you want to start getting to know the people they know, and it just extends in building your network.
That makes sense to me. Now, how do you go about asking for recommendations? That's a question I've always wondered.
You know, there's a couple ways you can do it. Some people don't think you should ask for recommendations. I'm kind of on the other side. If mm-hmm. I work with a client and they're on LinkedIn, I'm going to send them a request after we've completed their work, just saying, look, if you think I did a great job, I'm trying to build my network on LinkedIn and my credibility, would you mind submitting a recommendation for me?
That's a nice way of asking.
And I'd make sure I tell everybody, you know, only do this if you think what I did was really great.
Right.
What about the the questions and answers?
Questions and answers is a great way for you to build credibility. And when you're on LinkedIn, what you're trying to do is build an online credibility. It's your brand. And there are a couple ways you can do that, through recommendations, through who you connect to. But probably one of the most powerful ways is by getting online, asking and answering questions.
So asking questions is as important as answering?
I think so, because what you're doing is you're involving the community and you're putting something out, and the questions you ask tell a little bit about yourself as far as what interest you have, you know, what your knowledge on a subject is. If you're asking very basic questions, that's probably going to say something about you, versus if you're asking really deep questions. It would be like the difference of Tio asking a technology question and myself asking it. Tio's probably going to look a lot better because he's more technical.
You think so? I don't know about that, Sean. That's one of the first things Tio said is Sean's really technical.
Tio and I have done a couple presentations together, and he's usually spoken before I have. And after he gets done, I usually say that was the educational part of the program.
Well, the comedy in your little guide is wonderful. I love the cartoon strips. Did you draw those yourself?
There's actually a program out there called BitStrips that allows you to create characters, scenes, and cartoons, and I actually found a reference to it on a LinkedIn blog that I was reading called LinkedIn Intelligence, and I started playing with it, and it happened to be about the time that I was doing the book, and so I thought, you know, what a great way to go ahead and put some humor into it and at the same time make a point with each cartoon.
I love it. I love it. I hope our listeners will reach out to you and get a copy of that, because it really, I learned a lot. It didn't take me long to read. I highlighted and just really enjoyed it. Thanks for sharing it with us. Tio, any final thoughts from you, Tio, about social media? Where do y'all think this is headed? You know, in 5 years, do you think you'll be left in the dust if you're not part of this social media networking?
Well, I think, I think we've gone from the vertical curve, you know, increase to more of a, from a horizontal curve to more of a vertical curve. So what you're going to find, and you know, I think this is what everybody's finding, there are always going to be non-techies out there. And there's only going to be a very few people on top of the technology all the way. But there's always going to be room for improvement in terms of how you use technology. But you need to humanize it. You always need to have the face-to-face component, even if it's a video. I truly believe you need to be able to see who you're working with. And there's a lot of technology companies out there that are putting together video solutions for these types of things, two-way video solutions. So,
and that's something you offer also, right?
We have a new product. It's a kind of a customer service chat component. You can chat one way, and you can watch the customer service representative respond to you on the other end. So this is a new product line that we're adding.
By the way, listeners, don't get any ideas. The Atlanta Business Radio Show will never go with video. If they do, we will have to get another co-host. Definitely have the face for radio here. Any final thoughts from you, Sean?
I kind of echo what Tio said. What I've seen with LinkedIn, and I'm going to assume it bridges across the other social medias, is there's a certain percentage right now that are actively using it, but there's a much larger percentage that are just kind of putting their feet in the water but not really active. And so I think what I see in the next couple of years over time is that the technology simplifies a little bit and you start getting people participating a little bit more. I think, you know, once again, if 90% of the people on LinkedIn really don't know why they're on LinkedIn, there's a lot of room for improvement. And I think it's up to LinkedIn to provide the features and the opportunities for people to get more involved.
Yeah, something I read a while ago that said, like, if you're not involved in Web 2.0, how are you going to be ready for Web 3.0? So you should be at least dabbling in this stuff, I think.
And I think Tio would tell you that 2.0 is probably history, and we're in 3.0 right now.
That's right.
Wow. Well, Sean, thank you for being with us this morning and for sharing with us some of your hot tips from LinkedIn 101, from clueless to connected in 6 days. You definitely shed some light on LinkedIn in just the 30 minutes, and we appreciate you being a guest. And Tio, thank you so much, too, for being here today and sharing your social media networking skills with us.
You're very welcome.
Lee, any final thoughts?
No, it's good stuff. Yeah. A lot of good information. Make sure you check out everybody's website.
Wonderful. And until next week, I'm Amy Otto. And Lee, I just really hope you have a good week next week.
I'm going to do it without you.
I'm going to be in Kansas. There's no place like home.
Exactly.
There's no
Click
place
those
like
heels,
home.
And off you go.
Have a wonderful day.